This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, clip of the day, Michael. This one coming from San Antonio, or San Antonio Spur, rather. Victor Wembanyama. What did make his return after being in the concussion protocol, but Michael clearly not thrilled with how the entire situation was handled. Here's Wimby.
Vic, I know you felt ready to come back last game, it seemed. Can you explain the process of what it was like getting cleared with the league? And you mentioned to Malika that there are parts you were unhappy about. Can you explain what that means?
I won't get into the details. I don't want it to become a distraction. Ask me again after the end of the season. But again, all the doctors, especially on the Spurs, but the doctors all around, they were great. Took great care of me. But the way the situation was handled was very disappointing. You know, not on the Spurs again.
Okay, so he's being very clear that he's saying, hey, it's not Spurs. But Michael, he couldn't gain final clearance from the NBA until approximately an hour before tip-off of Game 4. So they were hopeful that he could play in Game 3. They wouldn't clear him. They cleared him an hour before Game 4's tip-off. I guess things change throughout the day to the point where an hour before tip-off, he's good. But you heard there in the clip, like, I don't want to get into details. I don't want to become a distraction. Ask me again after the season. But the way the situation was handled was very disappointing. Not on the Spurs. But as I say, I won't get into the details. This is just, it's another, you've got your players, you got your coaches just ripping every single thing to shreds. And this is a new problem. Didn't even think the concussion protocol deal was something that was just out of pocket, out of control. But, you know, when you're talking playoffs and you're talking a guy that would have been, you know, according to their 48-hour rule, could have been able to go game three, but instead had to wait back and then wait an hour before. Now, San Antonio, they were down by 15 in the third quarter, but found a way to make a big comeback, their largest playoff comeback victory since Game 5 of the 2014 NBA Finals against the Miami Heat. But, you know, Wimby, you could tell there's a lot of frustration there. Boy, once their season is over, I'll be very curious to find out just how that went down. And why did it take so long? You know, why did it take leading up to just 1 hour before tip-off? And what was going on in Game 3 where he thought he could have played? Now, again, the players want to play, especially in this situation, because Wimby knows, hey, we can get a stranglehold on this series if I play Game 3. And they win anyway. But, you know, he wants to win a championship, and every game he's not there makes the Spurs way less better. I mean, just way less likely of winning any game in these West. I mean, the Spurs are a good team. Pretty good, even without Wimby. But it's just one of those stories. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yes, Michael.
I'm just wondering, like, were there independent officials testing him every couple of hours, or did he get a test? The test was sent to the league office, and then
you would imagine there would be some NBA type of doctor around who's constantly checking on him and getting, you know, deciding whether or not he's going to pass the test or not. I mean, not just a Spurs doctor. You have to have an NBA official doctor type that would give him the green light, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I want to hear more.
Someone who's gone to school for 15 years to be a neurologist. I mean, if it's the neurologist, the NBA guy, and there's regular testing, and then that guy says, okay, you're good to go an hour before, I have no problem with that. If they're sending off tests, and then they sent it off 12 hours ago, and then finally he's okay, then finally they get back to you, I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, don't look now, but the Colorado Rockies are making this Dirty 30 thing potentially too easy, knocking on some wood there. I mean, they have found ways to just win 13 baseball games, and they got the series sweep yesterday. They had a doubleheader. They got the series sweep, man. The Rockies get wins 12 and 13. Mickey Moniak has been incredible. But how about Chase Dolander? That guy has been exceptional. And he's got an edge about him that I just absolutely love. And his attitude toward this thing, like he's thinking big picture stuff, Mike. This was his first official start of the season because they've been doing the whole, you know, he starts somebody else and then he comes in like in the second or third inning. But he pitched 7 innings last night or yesterday. And the Mets scored 0. He had 7 strikeouts in this one. He allowed 5 hits. And then the bullpen came in and cleaned it up. But this team is 13 and 16. I mean, I'm not getting crazy yet. The Mets have been bad. They've been sliding big time. But these are games the Rockies weren't winning any fashion last year.
I mean, last year the best they would do was 1-2.
The best they would do against a bad team.
Unless it was Miami.
So their record when they won their 13th game of the season last year, they were 13-55 last year. They didn't get their 13th win until after losing their 55th game. And the year before that was better, but not crazy. They didn't get their 13th win until after they lost their 28th win. In 2023, they didn't get their 13th win until after they lost their 21st game. 13-16. They're sitting at 13-16. Got a series coming up. They're off today. Got the Reds coming up next. And maybe, Mike, just maybe. I mean, they could be 500 by the time we get to. Now, I'm not predicting a sweep here. But, the Reds, on the other hand, pretty good baseball team. And that's in Cincinnati. So that's going to be tough. But the fact that we got 13 wins in our Dirty 30 quest here is pretty amazing. We'll take that, Michael. Is there any chance we get to 25 by the end of next month?
I would not doubt it. I believe I will be buying you lunch.
I probably owe you lunch.
When the Rockies hit 60, I will be. But I said that they would win 50.
I did get this one too. Yeah, Faith, I was going to bring this one up. Texas Tech transfer quarterback Brendan Sorsby, one of college football's top returning players, is checking into a residential treatment program for a gambling addiction. the school announced on Monday. Sorsby's decision to seek treatment, according to sources, came in the wake of the discovery of Sorsby making thousands of online bets on a variety of sports via a gambling app, which jeopardizes his eligibility with Texas Tech. The NCAA is investigating Sorsby's gambling, according to sources, as the organization forbids athletes from betting on both college and pro sports. We talked about this before. Would you allow them to gamble on sports they're not in, on professional sports? Texas Tech said in a statement that the university is committed to supporting Brendan through his recovery process and to ensure his long-term health and well-being. According to sources, Sorsby bet on Indiana football while redshirting for the Hoosiers as a true freshman in 2022, a season in which he played a single game as a reserve. The bets in 2022, according to sources, were on Indiana to win, and none came in a game in which Sorsby appeared. His gambling has not drawn the attention of law enforcement, according to sources, nor has been linked to anyone attempting to influence the outcome of a game. Sorsby's gambling, sources said, was a steady flurry of small bets over a period of time.
So that Indiana one was more of a homer bet.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, it's a tricky slope, you know, slippery slope. But that by itself, if you just talk about that, that seems innocent enough. Like, I'm betting on my team to win because I'm a homer and I'm backup and I love my team. But it's what he knows. It's what he knows that we don't know.
That I would not. I don't want anyone in college sports betting on college.
You can't bet on your sport and in college. I don't think college players should be allowed to bet on any kind of college.
Yeah, because
you're
like
hanging out with all these student athletes, you know.
Yeah, you go to Texas A&M. Can ask someone else at Texas A&M, hey, how's the baseball program doing today? Like, if you're in college, I don't mind you voting on pro. Betting on pro. Don't care. But, like, don't do anything with college. That's a problem.
Yeah. And you can't bet on your own sport, and college, I think, is a different world because you're on campus. You're likely at some point running. You're working out in the same areas. You're likely running into other athletes of other teams. It's different. I don't have a problem with. I guess I go back and forth. Should an NFL player be able to bet on the NBA? Some of these guys are friends, man. So like LeBron James knows everybody. You don't think he's got guys in the NFL that he's tight with that have his cell phone number where he can text or they can text him as, hey, is Luka playing tonight? Yeah, man, between us, Luka's playing tonight. Great, dropping money.
Yeah, but then, you know, you're going to have the FBI all over you if you're LeBron, and LeBron has some friends, and LeBron's friends start winning. So if you're LeBron, do you want to have the FBI say, hey, guess what? Your friend started winning some stuff, and they text you a lot. We're going to confiscate your phone.
I get you. It's a weird story, though. But, yeah, I mean, even if he's betting on his team to win, it's like the Pete Rose thing, you know. Still, like, how do we know you didn't place that bet once you found out a certain player was – again, it doesn't matter. But that's why there's issues with it. Because you could be on the roster and, oh, star running back just got healthy. I'm betting on us to win. And maybe – I mean, they didn't know enough about it. 2022? I don't know. But it was a – the records of it, and it wasn't just 2022, but this is one of them that they got because he's now obviously going into a residential treatment program for a gambling addiction. So clearly it was going on longer than 2022. I hope he gets it right, man. I hope he gets it right. I hope he figures it out. We'll see if he's able to come back and play in the NCAA, Mike. I mean, it says it's not a legal issue at all because they probably were legit gambling apps, but the rules you sign up for in the NCAA don't allow you to bet on either one of them, NCAA or the NFL or any other professional sports. So time will tell.
Well, you could go to Vegas. You could go to Vegas and, you know, do the slots, blackjack.
Yeah, it would not be
can you
professional
bet on,
football.
On horse racing?
Can you bet on it?
If you're a college athlete, because that's not really a sport.
I don't know.
Did you make that horse noise on purpose?
I don't think so. It forbids athletes from betting on both college and pro sports. You could argue it's pro horse racing.
It's not really a sport, though.
Aren't they pro horses? Aren't they pros? Those are professional horses. They're faster than your horses.
Yeah, but it's not a sport.
It's horse racing. There's jockeys. And the horses are athletes. Horse is a better athlete than Jokic could ever dream of.
A horse is a horse.
It's an athlete. They run rounds and circles. And they're fast.
I'm going to do professional ant racing.
That wouldn't
be
very fast.
And that's a sport.
That wouldn't be very fast. And you'd be silly to bet on that because there's like millions of ants in a little pile. There's no way to control them.
It's professional ant racing. Therefore, it's a sport.
Okay, just be with me here. I know you don't. I'm kind of with you on this, but is it a professional event?
Yeah.
Do you have to be the best horse there is to race in the Kentucky Derby?
Yep.
Or horse racing that you can gamble on? Then it would be considered a professional sport. So I would imagine they can't. Professional golf.
Professional gambling event.
You cannot bet on it. I would say that they probably cannot bet on horse racing.
I'd say they should be allowed to bet on horse racing
probably,
and golfing.
But, I mean, you just make it easier on yourself, and then you don't have to have that argument. Faith says, I don't think he'll be returning to school, but it's a compliance issue. Yeah, I wouldn't imagine he's returning. If that's against the rules and you were betting, especially in your own sport, I don't know that you're going to win that battle. So he might be done.
You're not going to ever catch me with that same issue. I hate losing money.
Well, what if you won it all? If you picked the Broncos to win the Super Bowl every year, you're going to hit one of these years. You would have hit like 12 years ago.
And I'll hit next year.
Yeah, you would have hit if you would put it in there. The NCAA said this in a statement on that story. Due to confidentiality rules put in place by the NCAA member schools, the NCAA will not comment on current pending or potential investigations. However, the NCAA takes sports betting very seriously and is committed to the protection of student-athlete well-being and the integrity of competition. The association works with integrity monitoring services, state regulators, and other stakeholders to conduct appropriate due diligence whenever reports are received. Any NCAA gambling case would be investigated by NCAA enforcement and then handled by the organization's Division I Committee on Infractions. So there you go. That's an interesting story. 22 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe, Northern Colorado. Just how good is Chase Dolander? We'll talk about it next.
The Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So are the Rockies no longer pushovers, Michael? Are they no longer the joke of the league? The rankings still have them like at 30 or something, but are they now starting to, people are starting to not feel like if you lose to the Rockies, is it considered such a bad thing?
I think their reputation makes them 30. But
yeah,
I don't
such
know.
Such an improvement already. Like, this is a major improvement.
I mean, they should win comeback franchise of the year.
Is that an award?
It's not, but they should make it
award.
Just for the Rockies and just for this year.
Chase Dolander was asked about this team in particular, and he said, hey, this team doesn't quit. This team is special. We have a chance to do something special. So keep an eye out for us. It's going to be fun. I mean, you wanted to have him follow up with a great performance. Michael Lorenzen and Jose Quintana were amazing in the first two victories over the Mets. So now you're like stringing together back-to-back-to-back performances from your pitchers, your starting pitchers, in a series where it's like, okay, the Rockies were at Coors Field for a long time. Now they're going to go to play the Mets. They're going to be on the road. The bats aren't going to be there, which they really weren't. I mean, you had a few big moments. Moniak was good. Hunter Goodman was good. Julianne was good. But for the most part, yeah, three runs is not a ton. You win 3-1, you win 3-0, but it was your pitching that got you through it. Warren Schaefer was talking about, you know, the pressure on Dolander and how big of a game that was for him. And he said, hey, it was huge because they were basically in a position where, like, they'd already kind of taxed their bullpen, and now they get a day off today, which is huge. So they needed somebody to go 6 or 7 innings, and that was Chase Dolander. Schaefer said, that's the thing about this team. When certain guys are down or certain areas of the team are down, other guys are picking them up, and that's a good sign. The Rockies swept the Mets for the first time since May 4th and through the 6th of 2018. They got their third series win of the season. I mean, Mike, they didn't win it their third series until July 18th last year. Well, I guess July 20th last year. Against Brian's Minnesota Twins. So, July 18th. They get their third series win. They were 13-55. When they lost 55 games before they got to 13. This is an amazing turnaround. It's an incredible turnaround. Guys like Troy Johnston and Tyler Freeman, Hunter Goodman. I mean, dudes are stepping up, and then Dolander dominated. 7 strikeouts, 5 hits, 2 walks. He reduced his ERA. It says 2.5. I thought I saw 2.25.
Yeah, according to Major League Baseball, ESPN, and Baseball Reference, it is 2.25.
2.25. He asked what was working. He said, if you had asked me in that fourth inning, I would have said nothing, but I think both fastballs were working. Yeah, I'd say so. Those fastballs were really working. He says, and when I can command those and the slider, I can get that on another level. I just keep attacking, concentrating on pitching in the strike zone. So that was his first official start of the season. He's been entering the games in the second inning. Maybe this is the way to do it with a young pitcher. You kind of do the slow build. You know, don't throw it all at him at once. Let him come out of the bullpen after an inning or so, and maybe there's not as much pressure to start that entire thing off. I don't know. But so far, pitching has been vastly improved this year.
Are we saying that the newest pride of the Rockies is a Rocky?
Chase Dolander. We actually might have a star player. Like, I mean, Doyle's been good, and Tovar's been good. They're, you know, kind of Tovar's struggling at the bat or at the plate. But we haven't had a guy, I don't think, you're looking at. And again, it's so freaking early, but we haven't had a guy at least teasing with the idea of being a superstar, at least, especially at the pitching position. Kyle Freeland's always been whatever he is. He's been fine. But not like a star. Dolander's pitching like a star right now, not just a good Rocky. A superstar. Again, short sample size, but what we're seeing so far is pretty damn cool. So I'm having fun with it, man. You're having guys step up in every way possible, and if the offense isn't going to be there one night, or it's going to be, you know, 3 runs is about all we can get, some big innings, we're going to have the pitching staff to be able to work us through some issues. And like Warren Schaefer said, you know, we had spent that bullpen, so we were really needing a good performance and a starter to go 7 innings, and that's what they got from Chase Dolander. That's exciting. That's exciting. Did any of you guys happen to see this, Michael? Where is it? The new Pac-12 logo. They got a new Pac-12 logo. See it?
Kind of looks like the old Pac-12.
It looks like the
logo.
Old one. It's just, it's black and white, and they're doing different versions for every team, so the colors are different. The A's a little bit different. The P's slightly different. C's about the same. The 12 is different, and then the mountains kind of now just look like a lightning thing. I don't care. I shared it, but I don't really care.
I mean, if it's offensively the same. I'm so offended that it's exactly the same.
If you're going to change it, why not change it? You know what I mean?
It's the beginning of a sucky era with less talented teams.
I don't know about that, man. I'm ready.
You have Washington State. You have
Oregon
CSU,
State.
You have Oregon State.
Utah State. Boise State. Santiago State.
Oh, yeah. They're good at football sometimes.
Isn't Fresno State in there, too?
It's all the states. Yeah, they had a good couple years once.
It's all the states that are in there. And then Gonzaga.
They're good at
the basketball side of things. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for the new Pac-12 next year. That might fade quickly, but we'll see. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, 35 minutes after the hour. We'll put the finishing touches on our thoughts for Game 5 coming up tonight between the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. It is do or die. There is no tomorrow for Denver. It's going to be... changes are coming, probably, if they lose this one tonight. Can they survive at least one more? Stretch this thing into the week a little bit. 35 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Forty minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Michael, let's hope this is not our last Nuggets preview segment of the year, because it very well could be. We could be at a stage tomorrow where we're talking about what ifs and what's next and who's to blame, what changes are coming, or you survive for another day or two, actually. If they win tonight, Mike, I think they'd play Thursday night. And that would be game 6 in Minnesota. They win that game, and I believe Saturday night would be game 7. So what needs to change for Denver? I mean, the fourth quarters have been a problem. And I can go back to my obvious. If Rudy Gobert is going to win this battle more often than losing the battle, I would imagine Denver's going to have a short night. Joker's got he started off with a bang in that game 4. I mean, he looked good. He looked like he was figuring things out, and it was kind of a sluggish first 4 minutes or so for the Nuggets, and then it did seem like things started to click for this team, especially Joker. But first things first, it starts and ends and finishes with Nikola Jokic. If he can take Rudy Gobert in most of his one-on-one opportunities, and he can be a consistent threat throughout the night, then I like their chances. But when he starts doing that, Minnesota's going to start feeling helpless. They're not going to have the firepower. And again, I can't imagine Ayo Dosunmu is going to go off for 43 points again. I think he'll be probably good. He was good. We talked about him coming off the bench for this team before the series started. We said he's a problem. Watch out for him. I still liked Denver's bench potentially being a little bit better, but he's been a one-man benching crew for Minnesota. But without the, you know, Anthony Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo, who can light it up when he needs to, without some of that scoring that's there, then I think that that's when you have to put the emphasis more so on the defensive side of the ball. And you would have to, if Joker starts getting his against Rudy Gobert, then you're going to have to probably start to double team Joker. And that's when Joker can really work. Because again, the firepower might not be there. I mean, Anthony Edwards, what, averaged about 30 points per game. DiVincenzo was at 12. So you got like 42 points. 42 points right there a night. Now, I know it's interchangeable. Some guys get more minutes and then they give you more points, whatever. But those guys would give you about, between the two, around 40 points a game or so. So you're missing that kind of production. So if you're Minnesota, you're Chris Finch, you are hammering defense more than ever before. If you can keep Denver to those ridiculous scoring shots, if you can keep, you know, 18 points in the fourth, 11 points in the first of game 3, that's what the emphasis is going to be tonight. And I'm telling you, man, if Minnesota comes out on fire tonight early and Denver is sluggish in the first 3 minutes again in the first, they're going to lose that crowd. They're going to lose that crowd. They're going to be uneasy. And you just, it's going to be hard to recover from. So you need a quick start for Denver. And, you know, who's that going to be? Are we going to see Jonas Valanciunas for the first time in this series? Because I don't know if Spencer, like I said it, man, Spencer Jones, I like the guy. I'm rooting for the guy. He's awesome. Seems like a hell of a guy. Love his journey. But playoff basketball is much different. And I just don't know if Gordon's not going to be a go tonight. If he's going to be about like he was last game, then I just don't know if that's going to be a recipe for success for this team. And last I'm hearing is he's still listed as questionable. Yeah, still listed as questionable in this one. I'm optimistic, Michael. We're not doing picks. We're not doing official picks. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. I do like Denver to win tonight. I'm not messing with spreads or anything like that. I doubt they cover that. I can't imagine they cover that. I think they win. Prediction for Thursday? Yeah, we're taking this one day at a time. You know, I got to see how this team wins tonight. Because again, Anthony Edwards ain't coming back for this series. Dante DiVincenzo is not coming back for any of the playoffs. It's unfortunate. It is. I'm not like happy. There's not, if you are happy about injuries and you're kind of a cold person, but when a guy goes down, you have to take advantage of that. And Denver, here's the opening. You have an opening. Maybe you win even if Ant-Man's playing in this game. You win one. You win one, you go 3-2, and suddenly it's like, okay, it's not so daunting. Go to Minnesota for a road trip, steal a game. Then it all comes down to game 7. Mike, do you think the Nuggets and Timberwolves will be playing on Saturday night? Go ahead. It's a safe space. It's a safe space. You were very optimistic on Friday, and they let you down.
I feel like it's less the Timberwolves and more the Nuggets.
There's a lot of soul-searching that needs to be done, and they didn't have very long to do that soul-searching.
I mean, the one thing that could change them around is a fiery Jokic. Can a fiery Jokic fire up the Nuggets and load the offense gun? Can they finally start making shots?
I don't know. Was the Joker sprint across the court to Jaden McDaniels, was it a good thing, or was it a sign of, yeah, we've completely lost control, and now it's just finish this season and be done with it tonight and reboot, reload next year? It's been a long season, man. Joker missed the most time in a season he's ever missed. Gordon was hurt a lot. Christian Brown had his first substantial injury. Peyton Watson became a star, or somewhat of a star. He's going to get paid, and then he gets hurt. I don't know what's going on there. It's been a lot, man. It's been a long season. Can they keep it going?
Remember back in October when football announcers were saying, Denver's the best place to be for sports. The Nuggets are doing well. The Avalanche are doing well. And, of course, the Broncos are doing well. And now it's like the Nuggets are up on the ropes.
Yeah, they are. They're on the ropes tonight.
Like, it just, Denver doesn't feel quite as great as it did earlier. And I don't feel as optimistic.
Can you get a gutsy win tonight, even with Minnesota's guys down? But, man, it's all against you. I heard Shaq even saying he felt like it was a must-win game for Minnesota tonight because you don't want to start flirting with this. If you can put Denver out, put them out. But I thought that was an interesting take. Can they do it? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Michael, what did we learn coming up next? Keep it here on the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn today on this 27th day of April? We learned that the Avalanche just decided we're not going to screw around. We're not messing with our food. We're not playing with our food. We're not going to let the Kings hang around for one meaningless game, five game. We're going to get this thing swept. We're going to move on. We're going to put our feet up for a moment while we wait and see what happens between the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars, who are tied at two games apiece. We learned that, we learned the Minnesota Timberwolves had some misfortune. They got some big injuries that could impact them in this series. It could impact them in the next series, too. But that didn't stop them in the fourth quarter. That did not stop them. They fired back at Denver. They went back and forth, and then suddenly it was just fourth. They moved on, and they got up 3-1. What are we going to learn about the Nuggets tonight? That's a big, big, big question, isn't it? Do they have any fight left in them? Is it going to be like the Randy Marsh thing in South Park, Michael? Hey, I didn't hear no bell. We're getting that Nuggets tonight, or are we getting... Are we getting a different version?
I don't know. Randy Marsh beats Bat Dad.
What?
That's who it was fighting.
Serious. Okay.
The Randy Marsh Nuggets beat Bat Dad.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll see, Mike. I think they win tonight. Come on. -11.5. They should win. Anthony Edwards is out. Dante DiVincenzo is out. They should win. If they don't win, then they deserve to be done. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Let's talk about a dub, hopefully. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.